Good afternoon. My name is Diane Mitschke, and I am from the University of Texas at Arlington in the School of Social Work. I wanted to acknowledge my collaborators, Aaron Mitschke, who's with One World Outreach, a nonprofit organization that works primarily with refugees and immigrants, and Dr. Robert Hanks, who is now at the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, who maybe you know, I don't know. Okay, very good. Small world. I do not have any relationships to disclose. What I'm going to talk about today is a study, really a pilot study, that we conducted testing the feasibility of incorporating a depression screening tool within the usual healthcare context of a free community-based primary healthcare clinic serving primarily Latino immigrants in a large Texas metropolitan area. To give you a little bit of background about the setting, we're talking about a very small clinic located in a socioeconomically deprived community of a large city. The clinic is run all by volunteer healthcare providers, primary care providers, and funding for the clinic is provided by private foundations. And there are primary care providers. I should also say that there's also a volunteer social worker and a volunteer psychologist. So it's a clinic that's been in existence for about 25 years. The patient mix is about 90% Latino immigrants and 10% refugee. And all of the services that the clinic provides are free to patients. They also have free medications, which are donated by drug companies. So most of the patients who come in are coming to the clinic because they have no other outlet for health care. They are uninsured, and they are also ineligible for county-provided health care. So this is a last resort for them. To give you a little bit of background about the Latino population, in Texas we have about 36% of our population is Latino. 68% of Hispanic Texans are actually born in the U.S., and 32% of Hispanic Texans are foreign-born. I've been to several presentations so far at this conference that have looked at differences between native-born versus foreign-born immigrant foreign-born communities, and it's been really interesting for me to hear some of those differences, and I think that's made me consider looking at other studies in the future to dive into those differences a little bit more. But for this study, we didn't really look too much at that. We do know in the literature that there are some differences related to foreign-born Hispanics being significantly older than native-born Hispanics, and also that in Texas specifically, about 61% of foreign-born Hispanics are uninsured, and that's due to a number of reasons, but primarily in Texas, one of the issues that we have is many of the foreign-born Hispanics are from Mexico and are undocumented immigrants, and so they are not working in jobs that would provide them with health insurance. So there's that barrier kind of at the forefront for foreign-born Hispanics. Looking at the intersection of primary care and mental health, again, there's been a significant amount of research done in this area. Often this area of research is called integrated medical care. And we know that about 60 to 70% of patients who visit a primary care provider are actually in need of mental health care. Research also shows that between 50 and 90% of patients rely only on their primary care provider for their mental health needs. And you know, of course, that there are many reasons for this, some of which include the stigma surrounding mental health. All other reasons are that access to mental health care and affordability of mental health care is difficult for many people. And finally, the priority that folks tend to place on their physical health care versus their mental health. status. Finally, another interesting statistic that I thought I would include is that several studies have looked at older adults, and between 43% and 76% of older adults who suicided have actually visited a primary care provider within the month prior to their suicide, which I think just helps make even more clear the importance of trying to figure out a way to integrate mental health care into the primary care setting. So for this study, like I said before, it was a pilot study. We were looking at whether it was even feasible to try to screen patients for depression in a setting with limited resources, limited providers, and limited funding. So we did a couple of things creatively to try to make this work, and one of the really wonderful assets that the clinic has is access to a pool of nursing students who complete their community health practicum at the clinic. And so we trained five community health nursing students who are undergraduate students. In the IRB process, we certified them doing the human subjects protection and taught them how to introduce the study and collect consent from willing participants. So nursing students then approached patients who were waiting to be seen. This clinic doesn't make appointments, so everyone's seen on a walk-in basis. So many patients wait for 2 and 3 hours to be seen by a provider. So it provided a perfect opportunity for them to spend a little bit of their time completing our survey. The survey that we used was very short. We had a quick demographic survey, and then we used the patient health questionnaire, or PHQ-9, which is a 9-item instrument that is a very common screening tool used to screen for depression in primary care settings. The other thing that I think was unique and worth mentioning about this study in particular was because the patients were waiting to be seen that day, the nursing students collected their surveys, actually tallied the results, and flagged any of the patients' charts who scored at a level of mild depression or higher, so that day at the clinic, they were actually seen by not only the social worker, but also the psychologist on duty that day. So just to give kind of a quick breakdown of some of the demographics, the age range of participants was 19 to 76, with a mean age of 42 and a half years old. It was primarily a female population. And just as a side note, it's really interesting, at this clinic, because of the patient population that's typically served, the gender mix depends very much on the weather. So if it's a nice day outside, which we have many of in Texas, we typically don't see many men because Latino men are often doing construction work. When it's a rainy day and it's not possible to do work outside, we see many men come into the clinic, much more so than the females. So maybe a limitation of the study. In terms of years in the United States, there's a range of 3 months to 67 years with a mean age of 14 years. Most of the people in the study, as you can see, the mean age being 42.5, most of the people had immigrated to the United States but had been here for a significant period of time. The primary language spoken was predominantly Spanish, with 93% of the people saying that their primary language was Spanish and opting to take the survey in Spanish. In terms of the reason for their visit, 83% of the people who filled out the survey came to the clinic for a physical health issue. And I think it's important to remember that the clinic not only provides physical health care, but also has mental health services. So it's not like people thought they could only get physical health care at the clinic. Only 11% said they were currently receiving treatment for depression. We did not ask what kind of treatment they were getting or where they were getting that treatment, which in retrospect, I wish we had done. In terms of the PHQ-9 screening itself, again, this is the depression screening tool, 65% had no level of depression, and the 35% actually screened for mild depression or higher. And this is what that looks like broken out. So you can see 52% scored in the mild depressive category, 17% had moderate depression, 14% had moderately severe depression, and 17% had severe depression. So there's just a couple of things I want to point out about that. The first, and I think the most important thing to take from the results of this pilot study, is that 34.9% or 29 people in the sample had some level of depression. Of these, only one patient actually had come to the clinic seeking mental health treatment. The other thing I think is really important from these results is that the severe depression category, we found a higher rate of severe depression than in larger comparison studies. So in our population, 6% of people actually had severe depression, and severe depression is the indicator is that people are having thoughts of suicide and immediate intervention is required. So in terms of, I want to talk a little bit about the limitations of this study, of which I'm sure several can be already assumed. One is that the small sample size. This study was conducted in a two-week period over at the clinic, and it was a convenient sample. So it was people waiting in the waiting room. I think it would be interesting to see with larger numbers, how the results might change a little bit. Also, I think it would be interesting to look at the immigration status and the native-born versus foreign-born population and how depression might look different in those two populations. I think the most important implication of this study is not necessarily that we need to screen for depression in primary care settings, because I think we know that. But this study reiterates not only that need, but a need to translate that screening into improved outcomes. So we need to move beyond recognizing that there's a need for mental health treatment in primary care, and on to how do we go about fixing that problem and how do we measure improved outcomes. And so what I think the main limitation of this study was that we were not able to, because of lack of funding, follow these individuals longitudinally. And I think a future study should combine the screening process with being able to look at longitudinal outcomes and follow-up data to see if we're really making a difference in terms of decreasing depressive symptoms in a population like this. In terms of policy, I think lots of work is being done related to reducing the stigma of mental health care, and that if we continue to do work in incorporating and integrating mental and physical health care through primary care settings like this, I think we will continue to make strides in reducing those barriers and helping people to see that mental health care is just as valid and valuable as addressing physical health concerns. And then finally, I think practice considerations, training for providers needs to focus on working in an interdisciplinary setting and helping primary care providers realize and work to improve access to screening for mental health issues like depression, and creating an integrated system within individual practices where depression can not only be screened for, but then treated. And that's all I have. It was quick.